culture. I don't know if you've picked up that we are spending all year going very slowly through the Sermon on the Mount because we actually want to live in the reality of God's kingdom. It is the gospel that Jesus brought, that the kingdom of God is now available and you can enter into it. It's not this thing that happens on the other side of our death. It's something that is right now available to us. And so every little thing that we've gone through up to this point, there's a teaching, there's a learning, there's an application that says if we actually apply this, if we do this, if we live in this reality, we will be living differently to the culture around us. And the premise behind all of that is if we live differently to the culture around us, it will be attractive to the people around us and people will get to know Jesus because of you and I. That's the premise behind all of it. So today we are going to zero in on just a couple of verses to look at a topic that is so needed in today's culture. But I'm going to go back a little bit. I think it was 1988 in the 80s. 80s music, best generation of music ever. You cannot convince me otherwise. 80s music, lots of one-hit wonders in the 80s. Bobby McFerrin. What was it? Don't worry, be happy. Okay, yeah. If only it was that simple, because today we're actually looking at this idea of living a life without worry. Living a life without worry. Now, this is going to be a two-part sermon. I'll do the front part of this today. Larry, I think, is doing the second part next week. But it also ties very closely into the last sermon we had, which was a couple of weeks ago, around the things that we value and treasure. So we'll touch on that today as well. I don't know if you use a Bible app. There are a whole bunch of Bible apps out there that you can have on your phone or on your device. There's one that's called YouVersion. You may have heard of it. I remember reading this in Christianity Today on the website, but I couldn't find the specifics. But they were talking about YouVersion users. And in 2019, so this is before the pandemic, in 2019, just on YouVersion, they had people read over 35 billion chapters of the Bible. That's a lot. And people listened to nearly 6 billion chapters of the Bible. But the one that was the most shared, the verse that was the most shared, the most highlighted, the most searched for 3 years in a row, so for 2017, 18, and 19, and I'm assuming once the pandemic hit, that trend would have continued, was this verse from Paul writing to the Philippians. Do not worry about anything, but pray about everything, tell God what you need, and be thankful. I find that interesting that for 3 years in a row, and I think it would have continued post-pandemic, that people are living in this world of anxiety and worry and uncertainty, and people want to have a bit of an anchor as to how do I live into this? How do I cope with this? So we're going to spend a bit of time today looking at that. So today's passage, here we go. And I am sorry, but I have got to the age where I cannot read without these things. Now, you're all blurry at the moment, but I can see this really well. Okay. It's going to happen, Nick. Trust me, it's going to happen. Jesus says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you're going to eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Or some translations might say, can add a cubit to your height? Do Do not worry about your life. I'm going to say right now that I think this is more than a suggestion. We can take this as a command from Jesus. Do not worry about your life. As an instruction, as a command, as advice for living in the reality of the kingdom of God. You know, to be a disciple or an apprentice of Jesus or a follower of Jesus is to learn how to live life in the best way possible. If I'm an apprentice carpenter, I'm learning how to become a carpenter, a builder. And I learn from hanging out with someone who already knows how to do it. If we are apprenticed to Jesus, we are learning how to do life well. We are learning how to live life. And so if that's the case, he's teaching us today in this passage that it is not only possible to live a life that is free from worry, but it is his desire that we would do so. Now, for some people this morning, you needed to hear just that. It is possible to live a life free from worry and anxiety. And in fact, it is Jesus' desire that we would do so. And he can help us live into that reality. Let me pray for us as we get into this. Jesus, I just thank you that you can show us a way to be in this world. A way that you have designed is a good way to live in relationship with you through the Holy Spirit and in relationship with those around us in a way that models your very character and nature. I pray that you would do something in each of us this morning as we explore this. Amen. All right, so to make sense of this, because if you notice, the start of this passage starts with a therefore. So it means you've always got to go back to what came previously to understand why this is there for. So let's have a look at what Sandra unpacked for us a couple of weeks ago. And if you missed that, get onto our website, get onto our podcast and listen to that message. But I want to go back and read the previous few verses and then today's verse in one go so it actually makes a bit of sense with some flow. So let's do this again. All right. I'm going to have to be like this. That's how my dad wears them, like, so you can sort of see them. Anyway, but that's another thing. All right. I can't even see that. Here we go. Matthew, sorry about this. I'm learning. I'm on my L plates. All right, this is from back in verse 19. Jesus is saying, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money," or mammon is the other word that's used there. "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. What you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear, is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life or a cubit to your height?" I think we all have a choice to make. Some of us will do it with intention. Some of us will just sort of hope it happens to us as life goes on. Some of us just go with the flow and don't think too much about anything. But we know from the teachings of Jesus and the life of Jesus going to quote Dallas Willard here, and he says, if we value mammon or money above God, then our fate is already decided. It is a fate where our life will be full of worry, anxiety, and frustration. If God is not first, if we are thinking our possessions, our money, our finances, our role, our position, our experiences, if those things are first in our life, Willard would say that your fate is already decided. You will have a life of worry and anxiety and frustration and uncertainty. Jesus is calling, in that passage from last week, Jesus is calling for a generous heart. A heart that reflects his own, because God is a good and giving and generous God. If we use our earthly treasures, our possessions, our money, our property, our things, to bless others, then we are in fact storing up treasures in heaven, to use Jesus' phrase. We can live in the experience of this world with its injustice and its greed and its selfishness, or we can live in the reality of the kingdom of God, which is a reality here and now, with its salvation and its joy and its peace and its justice. And how we use the things that are available to us, either for the sake of others or for the sake of ourselves, is determining where we are putting our treasure. To invest our treasures, our things, in practices that look like justice and peace and reconciliation and love is to lay up our treasures in heaven. It is to serve God, not money or mammon. Now, the word mammon is an ancient word that basically means anything that you can put your trust or hope in for your security and for your comfort. That's mammon. And that's what our world does. That's what our culture does. That you are okay if you have money and power and position and experiences and toys and things and luxuries and comforts, and all those things will help keep you safe and happy. Until it doesn't. But have you ever noticed that Jesus has a really strong sense of the goodness of his Father? Jesus has this strong sense that God the Father, as creator of all things, in which Jesus was intimately involved in the creation, that God is a good God. He is a generous God. And a bit further into this sermon, not my sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, a bit further into this sermon, Jesus makes a point about the goodness of God. I'll paraphrase this a bit, but he basically says, you know, if one of your children asks for something, you know, asks for bread, will you give them a stone? You know, if one of your kids asks for a fish to eat, would you give them a snake? No, of course you wouldn't. And you're not naturally good. But as parents, we do things for our kids that we know are good for them. And Jesus says, how much more would your Father in heaven give good things to those that he loves? Jesus is pointing to the fact that God is the provider of all good things that we need in life. When we look at verse 26, which is up there, yep. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? I thought about that for a bit, and I actually had a moment this week where I just sat and watched some birds doing what birds do. Now, God provides for the birds, but they still have to go and search for the food. And in fact, I think that's the majority of what birds do during the day, is search for food. But the food's there, it's provided. But you've got to still go and do something to get it. And then I ask the question that some of you might be thinking. Okay, if this is true, I just have to read the news or watch TV to understand that there are a whole bunch of people in this world today, many who are professing Christians, who it seems like they don't have their needs met. They're living in poverty and famine and whole range of situations that don't make sense. And I just thought about that and I pondered on that. I don't have an answer for that. But just like God provides the food there for the birds who have to go and get it, I just wonder. I don't think it's a provision issue. I think there's enough food in the world for everybody. But I think it's humanity's misuse and greed in the stuff that God's already provided that prevents some people from having access to it. That's another whole issue. But that tension is sitting there. If God does provide everything that we need, surely that has to be true for all people at all times in all places, and that doesn't seem to be how our world operates. And so maybe it's more about us and what we do with God's provision. Anyway, that's another thing. Have a look at that yourselves. But let's remember, Jesus has a strong sense of the goodness of his Father. In John's Gospel, we read this. Jesus saying, yes, I'm the gate. I'm the one you come through to access the Father. And those who come in through me will be saved or will find safety. And they will come and go freely and will find good pastures. Because the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and a satisfying life. He is a good God who provides what we need. Now, there's no sense in any of the scriptures that Jesus lived a life of worry or anxiety. Jesus seemed to live in the moment really well. In fact, there's a word I've often heard described about Jesus. He was interruptible. He was present. He was not only present to God and what God might be doing, he was present to the people around him, the people in front of him, the people that he came across as he was traveling through a town. He was present. He was not anxious. He was aware of the presence of God and what God was doing. Jesus said many times, the work I'm doing is only the work that my Father's doing. That's what I'm tuned into. Tuned into things like reconciliation and justice and kindness and generosity. He was aware of the reality of the kingdom of God. He was modeling that. He was inviting people into that. And that's how he lived his life. This invitation to live in a way that goes against our natural tendencies and it goes against the culture around us is the way of the kingdom of God. And we're called to trust Jesus that the life he is inviting us into is the best way to live. So Jesus offers himself as the entry point, as the doorway into a life that corresponds with what is most true. He invites you and I to follow him, to learn from him. Just like a modern day apprentice would, to live this human life, and it's a life that can be lived free from worry. So then I started thinking a little bit. What good has worry ever done for me? Or for you? What good has worry ever done for you? When has worrying helped you be more present to God and the people around you? When has worrying helped you live more in the moment and be aware of the presence of God? How often has worrying robbed you of joy and peace? How often has worrying sent you into a spiral, a downward spiral, emotionally, mentally? It doesn't seem like there's much good to worrying. It's more than a suggestion. It's a command. It's an instruction. It's advice on living in the reality of the kingdom of God. And I think that we are acutely aware that living a life worry-free is difficult for most of us. I think if we're honest, we'd be aware of that. It's difficult for most of us. But there is enough instruction in Scripture for us to have a posture of obedience to what Scripture says, to actually stop and confess to one another, bring things into the light. Hey, these are the things that I worry about. Maybe you've never shared with someone the things that you actually worry about. What would it be like to actually name that? To share that with someone? So what I'd like to do as we finish our time together, and this is an invitation to you. In a moment, I'm going to finish up and you are free to head out and grab a cuppa, enjoy the lack of sunshine. Go and have a chat with someone, or you're free to linger a little bit. And if you'd like to stay just in this moment a little bit, then I just want to put a few things on here. What would it be like to share with someone what you tend to worry about? To verbalize it, to speak it out. And then pray with and for someone. We can pray for greater trust in Jesus and the way he calls us to live life. We could pray for a deeper dependence on God to provide what we need, which is often different to what we want, but what we need. We might pray for a generous heart towards others so that we are storing up treasures in heaven, to use Jesus' phrase. We might want to pray for a transformed character so we actually can live a life that is worry-free. But I think it would be foolish for us to look at this passage to go, yeah, there's some good teachings there, there's some good advice, now let's just forget about it and go about our Sunday and do whatever we're doing. Let's take a moment, if you'd like to just say, God, can you do something in this space with me, for us? Can we actually try to apply something here? Because I don't want us to hear a teaching about not worrying in life and go away and just keep living a life of worry. That would be foolishness. And we get to do this together. So can I invite you, please feel free, in a moment, can we have some sort of music, whether it's playing softly through the speakers? Yeah, thanks, Tim. Can I just invite you? You are free to sit in your own space. You are free to go and grab a cuppa, to head outside. You are free to move around and go and connect with someone. But can I also suggest you're free to engage with this for a little while? What would it look like to name the things that you worry about and bring that into the light and have someone else hear that and sit or stand with you in that reality and pray with you about that? So the invitation is open, and this can take as long as it needs to take. I'm not going to get up and say, we are now finished and go and do your thing. But let's just be the church. Let's support one another in this, because we all share this. I don't think there's anyone immune in this room who just goes, I just never worry about anything, and I am just such a good follower of Jesus that my life's awesome. That's what we're heading towards, but maybe we're not quite there yet. So, as a little bit of music plays, feel free to be in your own space, to get up and move around, to head outside, whatever you need to do. And let's just do this for a few minutes as a church community. And when you think you're done, feel free to head outside, grab a cuppa, grab your kids. There'll be a few people up the front of the room. If you want to come up and have someone pray with you, that would be great. And my last little bit of housekeeping is, once all this is done, we're leaving the chairs out. There's something else happening in here today. But can I pray for us as we move into this space? Father God, I thank you that you have a vision of the life you call us to live, that Jesus, you modeled it, that through your scripture, you direct us towards it, and through the indwelling Holy Spirit, you enable us, you empower us to live into the reality that you call us to. And so, Jesus, would you just be at work in this room over the next few minutes? Would you take what we can offer, and would you use it for your glory to shape us to be the kind of people who live a life free from worry, and that we can model that to others around us, that they can see that it's possible to live a life free from worry, anxiety, and step into that reality as well. So, Jesus, would you lead us in that? Amen.